El mundo enfrenta una pandemia. Encuentre respuestas y acceda a información veraz y confirmada en el especial de NTN 24 sobre coronavirus COVID-19. Escuche los contenidos de NTN 24 en su plataforma de podcast favorita.
Welcome to The Power of Us, a podcast where Abel and Rosie lead us in nurturing, equipping, and empowering the relationships in our life through their experience and vulnerability. Hey, you guys. Welcome to The Power of Us. I'm Abel.
What?
I'm Abel. No, I'm Abel. I'm Rosie.
And I'm Abel.
And we are so happy that you are back again. I'm so proud of you because talking about relationships can be sometimes exhausting.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad you get to hear about our junk so that you can fix yours.
Yeah.
But we also give you advice here. Okay. We don't know everything. We've only been married 6 years and we're learning and growing. Mm-hmm. But we're going to bring people that know.
Yeah.
And that are going to be able to give you the solutions, or we're going to figure it out together. And that's the power of us, all of us together as a community. Don't do marriage alone anymore. You've been hiding. You've been trying to protect your spouse. You've been trying to protect yourself by not telling your mama or your friends or your pastors or your leaders. You're trying to look good when your house is disgusting.
Yeah.
And I only say that from the bottom of my heart because Abel and I used to live like that. And it feels so good, babe. To just be open and to be raw and to be asked for help when we need to clean up this relationship.
Yeah, because see, as human beings, we're actually designed to be a community. You know, when we're by ourselves, you kind of go crazy a little bit. And yeah. Have you ever felt that way inside of your own house, inside of your relationship? You kind of feel like you're going crazy with this person. Why? That's because the both of you are in the middle of it.
Mm.
And you need that community, that third perspective to give you life again, to give
without
you hope
again.
Without
all the emotions.
Yeah.
They can see it logically without the emotions and bring it back and refocus.
Now, you do have to be careful. You can't go around telling everybody everything because some people use it for bad. Some people will think bad of you and just talk mess about you.
Yeah.
What you gotta do is you gotta find those right people that's gonna help you, man.
So
you gotta
good.
Find those people that you can trust, those people that are in the thick of it as well, and they're going through their own things or they've been where you've been.
Yeah.
And they understand.
And they're having a healthy relationship now.
Definitely.
And you know, no one's gonna have a perfect relationship, not you, not anyone, but healthy relationships are possible.
Definitely. So today we're talking about roles and where we stand. Where does the man stand? Where does the woman stand?
Yeah.
You know, what's the right thing to do? What are the right roles to have?
Because you know what, babe? We don't live in the same generation as our parents.
We don't.
So the role that my dad had and my mom had was totally different than what we live now.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom could be a stay-at-home mom at one point when they were in Mexico because the expense of life was different, the cost of life. But when they came to the U.S., my mom had to have a job, yet she still had to come and cook, and she still had to take care of 6 kids. And my dad was he was a breadwinner, and that's it. And that was his role, and it was very definite. Now, babe, with social media, with the way life is changing, with the economy, everything has changed.
Yeah.
But there has to be, like, some basics, right? Like, some fundamentals.
Yeah.
And who do you ask? Like, who really knows? And how do you do it? Like, if there's a fundamental, if there's a foundation, if there's a principle of roles in marriage, is it very general?
Yeah.
Like, everyone should live like that? And honestly, what's my role in marriage? And I only say this because, look, we have lived so much in these 5 years where you had a job and I didn't.
Yeah.
Either because I quit or because I was doing other stuff or I was selling Mary Kay, but our economy depended on you.
Yeah.
And then life changed and the man session came in 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Job.
And then there was that your company shut down and I was working.
Yeah.
And you were at home with the kids.
Yeah.
And you were working your butt off on investing in your future, investing in your career, investing in your ministry and your voice and your music that now is flourishing.
Yeah.
But at that time, people could have thought like, oh, well, look, he's at home. And I remember some people on my social media used to say stuff like, ah, pues es un mantenido. And I'm like, you're nuts, dude. He works harder than anyone I know. But just because it's not bringing in money doesn't mean his role is diminished.
Yeah.
So we have to know what doesn't define our role.
But even, honestly, even going further than money, there's a lot of things within the house that, how is it divided up? Who's the one that disciplines? Is it the mom or is it the dad?
Yeah.
Who's the one that, that loves on their kids? You know, is it supposed to be the mom or the dad? Who's the one that's supposed to teach them about this or that?
Right.
You know, who's the one that's supposed to do this for them or that for them? Or in the relationship, who's the one that initiates sex in the relationship?
Yeah,
who's the
seriously.
One that initiates romance and love and compassion and
because
forgiveness,
I always thought
et cetera.
It was the guy. And you told me, well, I want you to do it sometimes too. Maybe at least 25% of the time, maybe 30, Rosie, do it sometimes too. I want to know that you're genuinely interested for you to initiate it. So like, let's give you some don'ts first, because we have a great guest today that is amazing. Some of you guys probably know her. Her name is Karina Moreno, and she is a minister, a singer.
Bomb singer. She's actually really, really good.
Right?
I really don't say that about a lot of people, but... when she sings, it's like, damn, all right, this is perfect.
She has such a unique voice.
Whatever she's doing, it's like, oh, you were made to do this and this
and
genre and
deep,
this. Yeah.
Yes, her music
she
is
tears
great.
It up. She's
just
really, good.
Really, really look her up. Her name is Karina Moreno. She has an album out that's called Ella, and then even a newer album. I'll ask her when she comes on because I have a bad memory. But she has been through some stuff, and she's very raw and she's very real, and she'll be able to teach us what her research, her life, her experience has brought about roles in men and women in relationship. But let's say some don'ts. Do not let money dictate the role.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's what we do. Whoever makes the most money, they're in control. Don't do that. Or whoever is the oldest, they're in control.
Yeah.
Don't do that either. Because you have been so much more mature in me in some areas, babe. Or, ooh, this is a good one. It's my kid. So I'm in control.
That is a good
one. And that's not fair, because you wanted someone to co-parent with you, but now that you're married, they can't scold your kid. They can't give lessons to your kid.
They can only do good things for
exactly. them. And that's not fair, because we want that co-parent.
Yeah.
And sometimes Abel, who doesn't have children of his own, before we had Sammy and Eli, you were still very great with Casey when I couldn't be.
Yeah,
you were able to see different things because you were a single child, like you were a son of a single mother.
Yeah,
that's why you could understand Casey even more than I could. So don't do that to your spouse, to your husband or your wife, and say, oh, they're my kids, so I'm in control. No, you still do it together. What else, babe? What are other things that we've probably allowed to define our roles that shouldn't? Society.
Yeah, definitely.
Society's opinions. Men are supposed to do this, women are supposed to do that, but then there's no basis for it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's always been done like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are the four that I could think of now.
I think that's good, especially with the society one, you know, such as the women are supposed to cook and the women are supposed to clean and the men are supposed to fix and take out the trash, you know,
yeah,
things like that. Men are supposed to do all of the lifting and this and that, and the women are supposed to do this and that, you know. I think society has really put a big strain on marriages, on what is right and what is wrong. But in reality, we have what we're supposed to do in our marriage. And we follow certain rules in our marriage on who is supposed to do what. And it's not about the little things. It's about the bigger picture.
Right.
It's not about taking out the trash.
Yeah.
It's not about doing the dishes
and
things like that. When it comes to that kind of stuff, I think it really matters on what is the, between both of you, what are you guys good at?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, are you more patient at dealing with Sammy when she's crying, when she cut her knee?
Right.
Or am I more patient and I can deal with her and I can make her happy again and make her stop crying?
Right.
Or vice versa, I'll get frustrated when she does that and things like that. Or let's say, for instance, in our relationship, you clean the bathrooms really good. I really, really dislike cleaning the bathrooms.
Yeah.
So I don't do that at all. I've never even had to do that. Maybe I've done it like once because I wanted to.
But you were very clear. It was literally a sit down that we had, very open. We weren't mad at each other. It was just like, all right, babe, this house has to be clean. Babe, I can't do it all. Can you help me? Sure. But I'm not going to do blank. Okay, well then I don't know how to do floors. I really,
but that's
for the life
really
of me.
Good at.
Yeah, I can't sweep or mop. I don't know why. It's always been this thing. But you were good. So I just decided, we decided together. It's not enforced.
Yeah.
It's not a dictatorship. It is, all right, babe, when I can, I'm going to try and stay on the floors. All right, baby, when I can, and I see the bathroom dirty, I'm going to try and clean it up, because we are a team and we have bigger roles and bigger dreams and bigger visions than how dirty is this bathroom.
Yeah.
The bathroom is just something that has to get done, that doesn't diminish me at all, and it doesn't empower me either.
So see, those aren't even roles that we're talking about. What we're talking about there are tasks that we do on a daily basis. You know, there are roles, though, that we're going to be talking about after this commercial break, that a man has to fill a role and a woman has to fill a certain role. We're going to learn about all that as soon as we come back from commercial break and we invite our special guest, Karina Moreno. We'll be right back.
You guys know that I'm a speaker, a teacher. I love the word.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find more of those spiritual snacks on my YouTube channel, Rosie Rivera. Go ahead and have your daily word.
And remember to... And rem...
What's wrong?
I don't know.
I just... You guys subscribe.
And remember to subscribe. Welcome back to The Power of Us. Thank you so much for being with us again today. You guys are awesome. You guys are very, very faithful, and you guys come back each and every week to learn more from us and to learn more from the community, which
And
is
today
great.
We're going to learn something, babe. Yeah. Our friend Karina Moreno, who's an amazing minister and singer. And you know what? I was right. It's El disco se llama Ella.
Yeah.
And it is amazing. And you know what? Let's give them a reference. If you guys saw I Love Jenny season 3,
right.
That great song, Me Estás Mirando, that I tried to sing and totally failed. It's because Karina Moreno sings it amazing. You must listen to it. It is such a powerful song. And just so many other songs. She comes from a family of musicians, mariachis, great musicians, great singers. And she's just amazing. But we have known her on a level of relationship of we've told her about our relationship, we know a little bit about hers and her history, but I really want you to hear it from her, where because I think she has some good insight on roles. What are our roles? You know, you and I, babe, have kind of switched back and forth. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we've totally failed, and then we've come back. But I think today is a great day to learn about what's our role in marriage. So, Karina, we were just DMing the other day on Instagram, and you just said some amazing stuff about the role of men and women. Can you give us some insight on what you think is a woman's role and a man's role in marriage?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you so much for having me, amiga. You and Abel have a lot of us hooked on this Power of Us podcast because it provides just an invigorating and inspiring message that you and Abel are able, no pun intended, but to share with so many of us on a daily basis about not only roles, but about what covenant is, what commitment is. And thank you for inspiring us. But to answer your question, today, as we all can see it, marriage is just disposable. I couldn't find another word for it. It's disposable. Mm. And for many people, the society, especially in America, it's such a disposable item. Something so sacred, a covenant with such reverence that was created by God, that could just be so disposable and so easily, just like a click of a button. You hear so many, I don't know, just so many different variations of the expression, the grass is greener on the other side. One of my favorite versions is by a very popular artist. I like how he says it. He says, well, it's greener until you get there.
Yeah.
And I love it. Because, and why does it look greener? Obviously, negligence makes us see the grass greener on the other side, because negligence causes us to stop watering the plot that God gave us.
Good.
God gave us all a plot. And so for me, that all of these problems are occurring in marriage, there's so many reasons why, but one of the ones that I've been able to study a lot, and I share this with sadness, but it happened to me. And I will never stand here and blame somebody else, because it always takes two. So I've been able to accept and own up where I failed. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, you didn't fail in that singing. You did a great job, and I love this. So stop saying that. But anyway, let's go back to this. Let's go back to this. So where I have failed, and I did notice something very specific, and that was the switching of roles. And that was never intended. A woman was never intended to be the priestess or the head.
Mm.
So a man was never intended to carry the design of a woman. See, we were all designed with such specific roles, but the reason why they get switched, and yes, we can go deep into this, and it just takes a long time, but I really believe that that when we do not value the role that God gave us, we start desiring another role, then that's when they get switched, and then everything gets mixed up.
Yeah, wow.
Everything gets mixed up. So a human reaction, yes, it's easy to say, okay, I want something better. Something that broke my heart was, well, exchanging you for something with less mileage would be ideal. So these are harsh words that in a human moment are expressed to the other person. And then that begins to devastate the feelings, the identity. And then that's when everything starts to break down. Why is it that people speak just like it was, just like in our relationship, I was compared to a used car? Why? Because the human reaction wants to see something better. But let me tell you something. You're going to go to the car lot, and you will find something with less mileage.
Mm.
But if God didn't give you that one, and he gave you something that had more mileage on it, but you stopped watering it, you were designed, it's our inherent design that changes everything.
Mm.
You know, I speak a lot about marriages because it's very personal to me. But when I speak about it, I have to make reference to the valuable relationship that my parents have always had.
Mm.
And my parents have been married for about 50 years. I think 50 this year.
Wow.
And they love each other so much, it's kind of annoying.
Stop.
And I always say, Dad, you know, when I have the chance, I say, thank you so much for loving my mom. As a daughter, it's very meaningful to see how he loves her and worship the ground she walks on it. And I think that your children and seeing how powerful God is using you guys in this refreshing way to express, they will be the ones to benefit from that. Because look, I emphasize that what they live as husband and wife inspires me. And it inspires me so much to say, what makes it happen? And when I asked my father one day, I said, how have you been able to love unconditionally the way God loves us? And he says, because, you know, you make that choice, and I've heard you and Abel talk about this in the Power of Us. It's a choice.
Yeah.
It's not a feeling.
Yeah.
And the moment that you start thinking about it being better and greener and less mileage, you can say anything you want. Find all the most beautiful things on that side, and even say things like, well, he or she doesn't look the way he looked 20 years ago. Well, excuse me, neither do you.
Right.
You know, look. Yeah. If that's where we're going to go, then let's, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody changes. But what is it that my father emphasized that day? He said, I just decided to love her the way Jesus loves me. And I said, and how does Jesus love you? And he responded, he says, in Spanish, he says, me quiere greñudo, me quiere feo, me quiere antes de lavarme los dientes.
Mm.
I am attracted to God even before brushing my teeth in the morning, even before combing my hair, when I'm at my lowest. That's how he loves me. And he says, and I need you to love her the way I love you. And when he said that, it struck something very strong, because what is it that us humans seek? New. We seek attractive. But if we are able to stay within our roles, and this is where I want to talk about the title that God gave man, and let's use Abel in this instance. God said, Abel, you're going to be the head and the priest in the household of Rosie and his children. When he said that, he didn't just say, you know what, I'm going to give you a badass title and you're going to wear those pants and you're going to, no.
Mm,
it has nothing to do with machismo. It's not just a title. It's a God-given privilege.
Yeah.
Wow.
But women were designed to take that role of priestess. And I dare to say this. If us children, and I don't know if you agree with me, Rosie, but if us children, if your children and my children, and me as a child, are going to believe in God at a very early age, it's not because of the mom. And I know this is controversial because a lot of us believe, well, the mom is the heart. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, a woman of prayer, a woman of sacrifice and love for God, I can't connect it to that being the reason why I believe in God. You know why I believe in God? Because my father was type and figure of Christ as the head and the priesthood.
That is so good. And so many people, so many places depend on the mom to take them to church. And the man hasn't really done that anymore. Yeah. But when a man decides to take his family to church, it is a stronger bond. It is something, you hear that. You say, oh, it was my dad that guided me. It was my dad that showed me who God was. Exactly. Yes, friend. I was thinking too, my dad would tell me how empowered I was in my identity, and now I see it as in, God was using my dad to tell me what God really thinks of me. So yes, it is so wise.
And right, if your mom would have told you the exact same thing, it's endearing, it's lovable,
right?
But it doesn't come into like a covenant in your heart unless the head of the house established it for you.
Definitely.
See? And so. And I'm sorry, Abel. I'm sorry.
You're good. As men and as husbands and as fathers, our job in that house is to be a representation of God.
Right.
In our home, especially with our kids, but even with our spouse, we have to represent God with just like the way that your dad loves your mom. You said something beautiful that he did a great job at instilling the fact that he loves his wife, your mom, unconditionally, to the point where you're able to say that to him.
Right. And you know what I love about this is that people are going to hear priesthood. People are going to hear head of household. People are going to hear being submissive. And they're going to think machismo or dictatorship. But nothing that Karina has said and nothing that her father has done has shown that at all. No. His leadership was in love.
Yeah.
He took his leadership position with the responsibility of loving her correctly, not being her boss.
Yes.
And that is true leadership.
Because see, check this out. Priests, you see them constantly serving.
Right.
You see them preparing messages to give to people.
Amen.
You know, and as this being as figures of God, we are here to show God's love unto our people, to show his mercy, to show his teachings, to give just the way Jesus did. That's what Jesus came to do on this earth. Jesus didn't come to be served. And if we're a reflection of God and we want to be like Jesus, because that's what being a disciple and being a Christian, a little Christ or whatnot really means, we are to give. So it actually is a complete opposite of machismo, complete opposite of ego. As a man, you're here to give to your spouse and to your kids and help them and just guide them. Go ahead, Karina.
Okay, go ahead, Karina.
Kudos for emphasizing that, because people, again, and especially in the Latin community, or, well, not especially, there's other cultures, but I'm familiar with this.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why I did just say, especially, that title seems like, so I'm the household, there better be respect. And right away, all of
respect,
that. And yes, respect is something you desire as a man. Gratitude is something you desire, because you're rational beings, whereas we're emotional. But the moment that you figure out who Jesus was, because if you're given the responsibility or role of priest and head, you are being a figure of Christ, because Christ is priest and head. Now, watch what he did. Watch every single step he took as far as how well he played these roles. He goes to a Samaritan woman who is feeling disabled with identity. Like none of us would like to feel, and I think some of us have felt that way.
Mm.
But he approaches her with the most tender, loving care. He leads a group of interesting philosophers, smart, pretty to the eye, a group of them to say, it is necessary that I pass through Samaria and that I stop with loving kindness. He didn't get there and say, hey, you adulterous woman, are you kidding me? No, he says, you know, and I know what you've done, not to embarrass her, but just to say, I'm still crazy about you.
Yes.
But I want to give you something that you need. And you know what, Rosie? This is, he knows us so well.
Yeah.
We talked already about the role of the man. The man is the head, the priest. He's the conceiver. The woman is the receiver, the multiplier of everything. What a man gives the woman. And let me read a quote. I love a quote that Eric Gray, a very famous author, said, whatever you give a woman, she will make greater. If you give her sperm, she'll give you a baby. You give her a house, she'll give you a home. Mm. If you give her groceries, she'll give you a meal. If you give her a smile, she'll give you her heart. She multiplies and enlarges what is given to her. So if you give her crap, well, guess what she's going to turn that into?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the house, the whole house will be crap. You're right.
Everything. thing. So we are multipliers. So what you give us, we will multiply. Jesus gave her water. Why did he approach it with that concept? He could have said, I will give you life. I will change your identity. I will give you love. He said water. Why? Because women get thirsty real fast. I think if Abel told you yesterday that you were gorgeous, I think you're drying up right now and you probably need to hear it again.
Seriously.
Because we are so thirsty all the time. And so he says, I'm going to give you water. Why? Because he says, you won't need to get married again to know how valuable you are. This water is going to calm the thirst of approval, the thirst of longing to be accepted. And he gave her water. Okay, what did she do with it? Did she just say, thank you very much, I feel better? No, she multiplied it in evangelism of a whole town.
Exactly.
They all accepted Christ. Because what you give Rosie Abel, she will turn it into, because we are multipliers. We exaggerate everything. We project everything. That is our role. You're the priest. We're the multipliers. That when those roles get in, what do you call it, like mixed up?
Yeah.
When they get mixed up, that is when the problems begin to occur. And a woman was never intended to carry the leadership in that aspect of the house.
It is too heavy a burden. It is really too heavy a burden. I've tried to carry it, and I messed up my home, and I messed up myself, and my kids weren't getting the right example. Because
Same here.
And I didn't try to. It wasn't like purposefully every morning. I'm like, no, I'm going to be the boss. It wasn't even that. It was that I wouldn't give the man the grace to mess up. If he would mess up, I'd bombard him with 15 different better ways of doing it. And then I'd get mad because he wouldn't do it. Because he thought, well, if you know how to do it better, then you do it, girl. We have to give our men the grace to sometimes mess up, to learn with experience, to learn little by little. We're all in a learning experience. So if you're man messes up, which he will, give him grace and say, you know what, baby, let's try again. Let's do it again tomorrow. All right, baby, you know what, I'm just happy you tried. I love it, babe. Mm-hmm. If you got a parking ticket, if whatever happened, all right, babe, we learned. Don't make it you messed up. It is we're not only with them when they're victorious and when they bring home the big check. We should be with them when we mess up. And I've learned that, to give him grace. And everything changed when I allowed Abel to be the priest, and I just stepped back and sometimes was quiet. I didn't say anything. I prayed about it, or I would learn to say it in a better way. Baby, how can we make this situation better? How can we make sure the bills are paid on time and stuff like that? So I love it. I love it so much what Karina said today.
Definitely.
Because a lot of people say that the Bible and is just so sexist. And how is it que yo me voy a someter? And what is that? Someter has been such a misconstrued word. Mm. But the way Karina explained it today, both with her father and with Jesus, and what she has lived is, whatever you give me, baby, I am going to multiply it.
Yeah.
You give me you give me hope, I'm going to give our children hope, our life hope. I'm going to give it right back to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And it becomes this beautiful new cycle of doing things. And I don't have to be afraid of you being the head of household. In fact, it makes me feel secure. It is what I've always yearned for, to feel secure. I am a strong, independent woman. I can do a lot of stuff on my own. And that is the way God designed me. And that is great. But I am better when I have a priest like you.
Definitely.
I am better.
I love that.
Yeah.
As men, we are called to be the leaders of our house. I mean, since even at the from the beginning of time, we have been called to be the people that go and hunter and gather, and the people that lead our people. That's, we have been called to do that, guys. So, but our thing is that we have to take that charge 100%. So many times when we get stuck, when we get lost, when we don't know what to do, we look towards our wife as if they got a better answer, which, hey, you know what? They're really smart, but it's up to us to figure it out as well. They're there to help us, to be our ayuda idonea. I'm not our helper in a sense. So, hey, babe, you know what? I'm kind of stuck on this. What are you thinking? And then you guys can come to a conclusion together, and you can solidify that response or that next move that you guys are going to do. But it's up to you to figure this out. And how are you going to be able to figure this out? And especially in the moments when you don't know what to do. And quite honestly, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself. I look up to God, you know? I look up to God. I ask my mentors and I ask the people that help me. I have spiritual fathers in my life. And I can reach out and just be honest and say, hey, man, you know what? You've been in this position before. You know what? You've been here before. Hey, what should I do in this situation?
Yeah.
You know? But God has been my refuge. Whether or not you have a relationship with God, I'm not sure. But what I can't tell you is that you have been called to be a leader in your marriage.
Yeah.
Especially as men. And women, you guys have been called to multiply, and you have been called to be a helper towards your man. And so, I mean, sometimes women do have to have that release of the reins and say, you know what? I've been a leader my whole entire life. I've been a leader for my child and my kids and all this stuff. And now I'm in this splendid family, or I've just been in control my whole life because I'm a strong, independent woman. But I have to also let go so that that man can be the leader.
And it's really scary to let go, babe. I need you to know.
I completely
especially
understand.
When a man, especially when a man, it seems like you don't ask God. You know, because I trust God. That's who I trust 1,000%. I'm a little bit scared to trust men, and I can tell you that. But knowing that you are after God's heart made it easier to say, we're in good hands.
And even when here's another kicker, guys. Even when I was after God's heart, if I wouldn't tell her and explain it to her, that whether or not she saw me, I spoke with God. I prayed. I read the Bible. I did this and that. Just by me speaking that into her, saying that I'm doing this with God. I have to keep reaffirming it into her. She can't just assume, oh, he did it with God. No, they're not going to do that.
Especially if I don't see it.
Yeah.
If you have your alone time at your office or at your car or at night when I don't see it, to me it's like, oh, he didn't even talk to God today. So what do you mean we're going to buy this house? In what city? What I used to always ask you, babe, well, what did God say?
Yeah.
And you would just stay quiet. That used to scare me until you started to say, baby, I prayed about it. I'm going to leave my job. I'm going to go solo in this music career. As soon as you said, I talked to God about it. I said, okay, then God's going to speak to this man. And I don't have to be in control of it because God is. And God is telling Abel, and I am going to trust them both, the two most important male figures in my life. So that changed everything. And man, Karina, just what you have explained to us today, I mean, even us that have grown up and learned this, you just opened up new eyes for me of how to see it, of how beautiful it is that I am a multiplier. I just got this like pride in being a woman and saying, yes, I can multiply what Abel gives me. And hopefully for you too, babe, and hopefully for you listeners. We've gotten some great advice today. There is no shame in our role. They are both beautiful.
No.
They are both important. They are both needed. And it is important to stay in your role.
Definitely. So in all reality, go ahead.
You guys have said a couple key things. One of them, Rosie, when you said, I'm not afraid to be in my role. I think feminism comes from fear. I think role desires that weren't meant for you comes from fear. And if you're not afraid, you're an empowered woman. You have strength to do, like you said, you can do it alone. You just choose not to, because this is something that you want to walk. I mean, it's better with two of us together. So if you're not afraid and to be the one to be the receptor, the one who is receiving what he wants to give you so that you can multiply it, that shows strength. And honestly, it shows more empowerment in a woman. I see more strength in a woman that says, I'm not afraid to be in my role, to be the multiplier.
Yes.
I'm not afraid, because it is, you've been there where it's a very hard task because we weren't designed.
Mm-hmm.
It goes against our nature, and then we fail. I failed miserably. And you know what? I'm not even afraid to express how in my marriage, I failed in those areas where, and my excuse was, well, there's a void and somebody has to fill it. That was my excuse all the time.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It wasn't up to me to fill it. I had to stay in my role. Sometimes things are out of your control, but if, of course, if this has any value to it, I failed in that area and I lost my marriage. And, you know, so I listen to you guys and I say, okay, there's beautiful insight that we can learn so that from this day on, you said something key, Abel, you change the cycle.
Yes.
You change the things that as selfish, C.S. Lewis said in his The Screwtape Letters, he says, the safest road to hell is the gradual one.
Wow.
You know, and then he goes on to explain in the book, because it's in satire format, but you get to understand how the people, as humans, we see sin as, you know, like murder, rape, adultery. Yes, those are horrible sins, but we don't focus on the subtle sins that are the gradual ones, like ego, pride, control, manipulation. We tend to put those under the rug, sweep them under the rug, and focus more on, thank you, God, that I'm not a murderer. Thank you that I'm not an adulterer.
So
I'm not in fornication. But how about the smaller, the ones who gradually take you to the road of hell? And those are the ones that if we all There's a song that my father wrote called Engañoso Corazón. And when you say, God, I give you this deceitful heart in exchange for a heart of a flesh, so that all the sins that are slowly and gradually taking me to separate my heart from your presence, I give this all to you. And that's where you start seeing all these little things creep up, like ego, pride, things that as Christians or as women and men of God, we tend to hold on to sometimes because of our because of pride. So I love that we can be real. You guys, yes, too. I love more than anything in your show that you guys are so real. You guys make me laugh. You guys are like so, you know, youthful in the way you guys, you know, will put things in such a real way, never trying to express like an image of perfection. If anything, you guys are just so raw. And I love that. And you guys have really displayed a very alluring picture of what life could be in marriage. And thank you for that hopeful message to me.
Thank you. Thank you.
Everybody has a second chance, right?
Yes. Yes. And you are a gorgeous girl and you're so talented. Oh. And I love you for so many reasons. I admire you for so many reasons, for being in ministry for so long, for being so real and raw while being in ministry. She's one of the most realest women. And not only when you speak to her in her music, she's real.
Yeah.
When she's on an altar preaching, she's real. Yeah. So it's very refreshing, and it's great to have ministers at this time be real in their music, in their ministry, on and off an altar. And and thank you so much for being here on The Power of Us. Karina Moreno, please check out her Instagram, Karina Moreno Oficial. Check out her music. Of course, that song that you guys heard, Me Estás Mirando, and also Ella, and many, many others. Great, great music. But I want to leave with this, babe. When God spoke to Eve in Genesis, he told her, you're going to want to be over your man. Te vas a querer enseñorar de él. And it's just going to frustrate you. And woman, I want you to just to know, just to think about that. How frustrated are you? And you're thinking, oh, it's because he doesn't do it. He doesn't take the role. You're probably frustrated because you're taking the role and it's too heavy a burden for you to carry. It wasn't meant for you. Let's rethink this. I want all of us to analyze ourselves and see if we have been out of our role and stop making excuses and maybe analyze how we got there, but only to find a solution for it, because the solution is there. It is good. And there is no shame in being the multiplier. In fact, it is empowering to know that I have the power to multiply everything.
And as guys, I just really, really take on this leadership role and really, really think about it. And once you decide to take on that leadership role and be the priesthood, or more than anything, just be the leader of your house, there's something you really got to do. And that's communicate.
Yeah.
Communicate. Because a good leader is able to tell the rest of his team.
Good job.
You know, Tom Brady is able to tell everybody on the team whether or not he's going to audible to switch the play. And that way, everybody's on board. If you can't communicate what's going on, what's our next move, what's going on, of course your wife is going to be doubting you. Of course your wife is not going to be able to follow you because she doesn't know where you're going. She can't read your mind. So we got to talk, guys. We got to talk, and we got to give a lot of affirmation. We got to make them feel safe. Why? Because women have a tendency of... Not necessarily forgetting, but something happens and they feel like something might change.
Right, yeah.
So we have to secure them and tell them, hey, we're good. Good. It's all right. We got this. Me and God got this. All right? I mean, if that's not you, that's fine. Maybe you can say, you know what? I've thought of this plan already. If this happens, we're going to move here, baby. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
But don't worry. I'm going to make sure that we're going to be okay.
Yeah, that reassurance
is that affirmation is definitely what somebody needs. Women want security, guys, and they want somebody to make them feel safe. It's basically the same thing. Women want to feel secure, and as if they got somebody that's going to be there for them.
Yes.
You know, they don't want to feel like they're going to be left behind or left alone, because if they do, they might as well just do it by themselves. And that's what they think in their head, I'm assuming, right, babe?
Yes, babe. You hit it right on the nail. Perfect. I hadn't even thought of that or remembered that, but that is arguments that we've had that we don't have them anymore because you just give me heads up. Small heads up. Whether it's, baby, I'm going to be late, or look, babe, I know we're planning on remodeling this house. I got it. Okay? Don't worry about it. It's going to be done. You do your part. Don't worry. My part's going to get done, babe. I got it. And then you come through. Then you come through. So I'm like, all right, babe, cool. So guys, we've had a great show today. I'm just so happy. Karina Moreno is just so raw and shared her life with us. Please check out her music. And thank you for continuing to be here on The Power of Us. We will be together again very soon. Take care. God bless you guys. Love you.
See ya.
Hola, my name is Enrique Santos, presentador de Tu Mañana y On The Move. Quiero invitarte a escuchar mi nuevo podcast, Hola, My Name Is, donde hablo con artistas, líderes de nuestra comunidad y personas como tú. Mi meta es que juntos conozcamos más sobre los triunfos y las derrotas de mis invitados y que a través de sus historias nos empoderen y nos motiven a superarnos. Lanzamos el show con J Balvin. He's awesome. Un artista colombiano que ha revolucionado la música latina y que sigue superando récords mundiales. Él nos cuenta abiertamente sobre sus inicios, el secreto de su éxito y los aprendizajes que lo ayudan a preservar su autenticidad. A partir de este martes 7 de abril, podrás acompañarme todas las semanas a conocer más a fondo a un invitado especial. Puedes encontrar mi podcast en la aplicación digital de iHeartRadio, la descargas gratis, o en donde prefieras escuchar tus podcasts. Hola, my name is The Podcast, a partir de este 7 de abril.